calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. With him through the garden, I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, with him all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And go with me, with
at this time of year, it is good to remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you. The subject of our little discourse this evening is taken from Deuteronomy, and you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your hearts, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Let us refresh our memories of this section of Deuteronomy, viewing certain incidents in the wandering of Israel, which make quite evident certain important truths that the nation should know and follow, and giving us today the same self-evident truths for our knowledge and guidance. It is encouraging to look back over the whole course of our careers in Christ, in which the hand of our God has directed us, to trace his dealings with us, to recall those many instances in which he took us out of this difficulty or that perplexity, to appear for our help, to open the way before us, dealing with each of us, providing each according to his distinct and peculiar needs, regarding each as an individual, as if no one else existed. Only he can understand, only he can gratify. While this exercise can be extremely helpful and upbuilding, it can also be, or become, a rather pleasant mental game of looking back at our ways, our progress, our attainments, our proudness in given areas that we have been able to accomplish, although we are ready to admit, in a general way, that it was the grace of God which aided us. This channel of thought is but self-complacency, and the ultimate of that is destruction of spirituality. Retrospection of oneself, looking backwards as to what we have done, is almost as bad and as disastrous as is introspection of oneself, looking at ourselves at the moment and seeing what we are doing, we, not the Lord. Anything, any action, any thought which elevates or glorifies self must not be permitted to operate within the Christian framework. It leads to waste, to barrenness, to death. Like so many things, it is not the original act that is so bad within itself. It is to what it leads. When Moses tells the people to remember all the way by which the Lord their God had led them, we can be assured he did not want them to sit down and look back on their doings or their attainments. Let us stop a minute and look at what Paul says in Philippians. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto all those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now the question is, what were the things of which the apostle speaks? Did he forget the precious dealings of God with him through his walk, throughout the whole of his wilderness journey? Impossible. Indeed, we have the very fullest and clearest evidence to the contrary. Hear his words before Agrippa. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great. So also in writing to Timothy, he reviews the past and speaks of the persecutions and afflictions which he hath endured. But he adds, out of them all the Lord delivered me. And again, at my first answer no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. To what then does Paul refer when he speaks of forgetting those things which are behind? He is speaking of all those things in his life which had no connection with Christ, all things which might hinder him in his pursuit for the prize set before him, those things craved by the carnal man, those which would prevent him from making his calling and election sure. And how difficult to accomplish, how often have you tried to forget something, that is to deliberately erase it from your mind, beyond recall. it is almost an impossibility. Paul puts them behind, and so should we. But how could Paul, how could we ever lose the desire to remember every incident, every instance, wherein we can see the hand of God working on our behalf for our edification, recalling all those experiences and moments? Every one of them will be probably one of the most pleasing and rewarding activities when we have finished our course. But let us not fail to see a danger in this, and that is only dwelling on our own experiences. This then becomes a narrow, selfish view. We must not lose the sight of the import of the church corporate, the bride, the totally elect, the full-sized picture. This would tend to lower, to debase our spiritual tone, to draw our thought and heart away from Christ. So it was with Israel. The nation was required to remember all the way, to lend praise and thanksgiving for the past and confidence for the future. So it must be, so must we do. It reminds us of the Ebenezers, the stones of help along the way. Hitherto, the Lord has helped us. When the eye rests on the Ebenezers which lie along the way, the heart must give forth its sweet hallelujahs to him who has helped us hitherto and will help us right on to the end. He has delivered, and he does deliver, and he will deliver. Ah, these many years, what lessons they unfold of grace and guidance through the wilderness from the same God that Israel of old in the Shekinah glory did possess. How faithful he, through all my griefs and fears and constant murmurings these many years. God of the covenant, from first to last, from when I stood within the sprinkled door and all my guilt the avenging angel passed, thy better angel has gone on before, and naught but goodness all the way appears, unmerited and free these many years. Thy presence wrought a pathway through the sea, thy presence made the bitter water sweet, and daily have thy hands prepared for me sweet precious morsels lying at my feet. 'Twas but to stoop and taste the grace that cheers, and start refreshed through all these many years. What time I thirsted and earth's streams were dry, what time I wandered and my hope was gone, thy hand has brought a pure and full supply, and by a loving pressure lured me on. How oft that hand hath wiped away my tears, and written, pardoned, all these many years. And what of discipline thy love ordained fell over gently on this heart of mine. Around its briars was my spirit trained to bring forth fruits of righteousness divine. Wisdom in every check and love appears in every stroke throughout these many years. Thine be the glory, thou shalt have the praise for all thy dealings to my latest breath. A daily Ebenezer will I raise and sing salvation through the veil of death, to where the palm, the golden harp appears, there to rehearse thy love through endless years. We must go beyond the remembrance of isolated mercy shown or deliverances given, but remembrance upon all things. All things are full of blessings for us. They are not, as some would say, contain instances or where certain instances may be blessings or mercies in disguise. No, because we cannot see the good. They are plain, unmistakable, sure mercies for which we should praise God. Thou shalt remember all the way, every step, every stage of the journey, every scene of the wilderness with the pointed object to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what is in thine heart. Just stop and think of the grace of God and his love for his people during this journey. Just think of the instruction for us. We too have to be humbled, proven, and made to know what is in our heart. Not alone is this profitable, it is necessary. In the beginning of our consecrated Christian career, how much did we really know of ourselves? At the best, I believe, it was quite superficial. It is only when we went on in our practical way or career that the reality of things were proved. Then we began to realize our own incompetency, the worthlessness of the world, and our necessity of dependence upon the Lord. All this is good. It makes us humble. It keeps us from developing our pride. It makes us see things as they are. It makes us grow. And as we grow, we obtain a deeper sense of appreciation of all the attributes of our Father, His tenderness to us, His mercies, His love. It should make us tender, correct our harsh judgments, our ill-advised words, to make us more patient, more loving, more kind one to the other. This then gives us depth, mellowness, and solidity of character. And He humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed with thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. After being humbled, they suffered hunger. Why? To have it remembered what God hath done. Oh, yes, their physical needs were quickly satisfied, but the more important point, their life was so wonderfully illustrated that they would never forget. But by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth men live. This portion of Scripture is not only extremely interesting in itself, but becomes of the utmost importance due to the fact that Jesus used this in His confrontation with Satan. We should not go to the Word merely to find dogmas there or to have our opinions or views confirmed. It is very much more than this. It is going to the Bible for the staple commodity of life, the life of the new man. It is going there for food, for light, for guidance, for comfort, for authority, for strength, for all. We may not have specially noticed this, a scripture before, but when the time arises, if we are in the right condition, in a true posture of heart, the Spirit of God will furnish us with the insight that is needed to help us, and we shall see a force, a beauty, a depth, and moral in the passage which we have never seen before. Scripture is divine, which God has provided for all the need of His people and for each one of us in particular, right on to our journey's end. And we should study it all, ponder it, dig into it, and have it treasured up in our hearts. There is not a single crisis occurring in the entire church, not a single difficulty of any individual from beginning to end, which has not been perfectly provided for in the Bible. Out of the mouth of the Lord, to us then, doesn't that make it a reality to us, personal to us? It should. It did to Jesus. It was His authority. Satan could not touch Him. He could do nothing with one who acted only on the authority of the Word, nor can he do anything to us. They of the world cannot hurt us if we too stay with the authority, God's Word. And as we remember all the way, we must also look carefully for the disciplinary dealings He hath provided. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee. Most surely we should not like to be without the blessed pledge and proof of sonship. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye are sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they rarely for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. It is interesting and profitable to note the way in which Moses presses upon the various motives of obedience arising from the past, the present, and the future. Everything is brought to bear upon them to deepen their sense of Jehovah's claims. They were to remember the past, they were to consider the present, and they were to anticipate the future. And all this was to act on their hearts and lead them forth in holy obedience. Therefore shalt thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. The word therefore has a retrospective and a prospective force. It is designed to lead the heart back over the past dealings of Jehovah and forward into the future. They are to think of the history of those 40 years in the desert, the teaching, the humbling, the proving, the watchful care, the full supply of all their needs, their manna from heaven, the stream from the smitten rock, the care of their garments and of their very feet. But this is not all. They are to look forward into the future. They are to anticipate the bright prospect which lay before them. They are to find in the future, as well as in the past and the present, the solid basis of God's promises. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills thou mayest dig brass. What a contrast to the onions and garlic and the bitter herbs of Egypt. What a contrast of our future to our past. Note through the whole thing how Moses speaks of the promised land, of the glorious future. He puts it as given by God and not possessed by Israel. There is a difference. The land will be given, not have to be taken. Modern Israel today must understand this, if they are to use the word of God as their authority. The word cannot be used as a power over the enemy, but assurance within oneself. We must be examined of self and understand that while we can and must claim all promises, we cannot claim the land. If we are to be true to the end, it will be presented to us. To him that overcometh, I will give. A little further on, again in Deuteronomy, we read an admonition about memory and forgetfulness. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, that thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water. We brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand had gotten this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish a covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Here is something else to think about. Surely the message is there, the voice is there for us even as it was for Israel. One may question constant appeals, reiteration of warnings and admonitions. But do we not need them? Don't we all forget? Do we not all fail to remember? Don't we all recognize our needs? Don't we need line upon line, precept upon precept? Facts may be forgotten, but the facts remain. All the details of the wilderness journeys are still there. Peter helps us to understand in his second epistle, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Wherefore I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Both Moses and Peter, worlds apart and ages apart, recognize the tendency of our frail minds to forget. Often we would be wont to say, "Oh no, not again," when we hear some scripture being used again and over again and expounded upon again and again. But could the true Israelite get tired of hearing of the wilderness journey? Can we ever get tired of hearing of Christ? Can we improve upon Jesus? Do we tire of creation, of the stars, the seasons, the mountains, the seas? So, lest we forget, "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what is in your heart. He was better to me than all my hopes. He was better than all my fears. He made a bridge of my broken works and a rainbow of my tears. The billows that guarded my sea-girt path carried my Lord on their crest. When I dwell in the days of my wilderness march, I can lean on his love for the rest. He emptied my hands on my treasured store, and his covenant love revealed. There was not a wound in my aching heart, but the balm of his breath hath healed. O tender and true was the chastening sore in wisdom that taught and tried, till the soul he sought was trusting in him and nothing on earth beside. He guided my path that I could not see, by ways I had not known. The crooked was straight and the rough made plain as I followed the Lord alone. I praise him still for the present pleasant palms and the water springs by the way, for the glowing pillars of flame by night and the sheltering cloud by day. And if to warfare he calls me forth, he buckles my armor on. He greets me with smiles and a word of cheer, for battle his sword hath won. He wipes my brow as I droop and faint. He blesses my hand to toil. Faithful is he as he washes my feet from the trace of each earthly soil. This is light for me on the trackless wild, and the wonders of old I trace, when the God of the whole earth went before to search me a resting place. Has he changed for me? Nay, he changes not. He will bring me by some new way through fire and flood and each crafty foe as safely as yesterday. Never a watch in the dreariest halt, but some promise of love endears. I read from the past that my future shall be far better than all my fears. Like the golden pot of the wilderness bread laid up with the blossoming rod, all safe in the ark with the law of the Lord, it's the covenant care of my God. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who did love us, and did give comfort, age abiding, and good hope in grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. Amen.